It's good to see everybody this morning, and just a beautiful time of worship. And how it's always just so awesome to see people go down into the baptism, the waters of baptism, and it's just an awesome thing to see people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. When that gets old to us, we have a problem. And it should never become old to see someone come and walk with Jesus in the newness of life. And so this morning we're going to go to the book of John, chapter number 8. And we're going to talk today about new beginnings. Amen. Has anybody had an eventful 2024? Maybe to some of us, 2024 has been a wonderful year. Maybe to some of you, it's been a very challenging year. But you know something? If you were able to walk into this building this morning, there's still hope. And there's still a chance for salvation. There's still a chance for redemption. And so 2025 is a year of new beginnings for you individually, maybe for your family, maybe for your relationship and your walk with Jesus Christ. We're going to begin reading today in the book of John, chapter number 8, and beginning in verse number 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And then in our final verse, in verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I want to talk to us this morning about three different types of people today. The first are those who can say, "Yes, I have done everything in the year 2024 for God. I live for God the best that I could." The second group are those that can say that there are some areas that I did well in 2024, but there are some areas in my walk with God that I did not do as well as I should have. And then thirdly, there are those that did not do well at all in their walk with God. I'm convinced that the first group is probably rather small, that you could say that I did everything that God wanted me to do in 2024. I'm convinced that the biggest part of us here this morning are in either group number two, where we can say, "Yes, I live for God in 2024, and I did good in some areas, but there are some areas that I could do better in." And then there are some of us here this morning that would say, "In 2024, I did not walk with God, but in 2025, I want to do better." And so to these three groups of people this morning, I direct my comments today. I feel that the Word of God has some great news for some people that are in all three of these groups today, because there is hope for you today, no matter where you are in your life. Can we bow our heads and pray? Dear gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the year 2024. We thank you for each person that is in this building today and that wants to live their lives better in 2025. No matter which category of people we fit in or which group we fit in, God, we know today that there is hope for us to walk in a better relationship with you and to do things better than we have done in this year. But God, in 2025, there is hope for us to live a good and godly and correct life. And we thank you for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Can we all say amen? Amen. No doubt this morning there are questions in our minds about this new year. Maybe some of us wonder what will happen in this new year. Will the United States go to war in the year 2025? Will our shores be invaded this year in 2025? Well, what lies in store for me personally in the year 2025? Will this year be that the Lord returns to receive His church in the year 2025? Oftentimes, during the beginning of the year, people ask themselves questions about their own lives. I want to talk to you this morning about a new beginning, that 2025 can be a year of new beginnings for your life. At the beginning of the year, perhaps more than any other time of the year, we become reflective and we look back over the course of our last year, over the year 2024, over the year of our life, and we think about things that we went through in life, and we think about things that went right, and we think about things that went wrong, and we think about our victories, and we think about our defeats. We think about our mistakes that we made and how there are things we wish that we could do over again, and that we could take some words back and we could relive some situations in our life. But at this time of the year, resolutions are made, diets are started, exercise machines are dusted off and put back to life again. It's at this time of the year that we think about new things. And as a Christian, this is a time of the year that we can evaluate our walk with Christ. We can evaluate our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did I give my best to God in 2024? Did I give Him my all? Did I give Him everything that is within me? Did I pray like I should have? Did I witness like I should have? Did I read the Word of God like I should have? Did I attend church and was I faithful to God like I should have? Was God number one in my life? Often resolutions are made when we begin a new year. I will spend more time with my children. I will find those odd jobs around the house that need to be completed. I will become more productive on my job and do as I should. I will become more involved in the church, and I will find myself a ministry and something that I fit in. I will lose weight, and I will exercise more. I will become more faithful in my daily devotions, in my reading of the Word of God. And so resolutions for most people, they will make resolutions at the beginning of the new year. They make them even though they are broken before they're even started oftentimes. But I suppose they are made because they symbolize the rite of passage for the new year. Resolutions are made because people want to see some specific changes in the new year. Because I want to do something to better myself. I want to live better. I want to live holy. I want to live more fulfilled. And I want to see the goodness of God in myself. Maybe you're here this morning and in the year 2025, you want to become a better person. Maybe you want to get thinner and lose some weight. Maybe you want to get smarter and go back to school or finish a degree. Or maybe you're here this morning and you want to improve relationships in your life. Maybe you're here today and you want to learn from the mistakes of this previous year. Perhaps you want to keep hope alive that somehow in this new year you will live and have life and live it to its fullest and live in relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you today about new beginnings. I wonder, do you have hope in your life in the year 2025 that will be different than the year 2024? Do you feel that there is a possibility of change for the good and change for the better in your life? Or do you feel trapped in the cycles of life that seem like they never change? Is today the same as yesterday? Is this week the same as last week? Is this month the same as last month? Is this year going to be the same as last year? Do you feel trapped in the routines and the monotonies of life? The saying goes, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. I don't care what kind of baggage you brought into your life or into this building this morning. There is a God that is able to heal you and forgive you and to redeem you and to set you free. And so today is the first day of the rest of your life. And I know we're not done with 2024 yet. We still have a few more days. But Wednesday will be the first year of the first day of 2025. And so this week will bring us into a new year. And this year is the first year of the rest of your life. You see, the enemy wants to fill your mind full of condemnation and full of all the baggage and the garbage that has destroyed you for your life up to this point and has tried to defeat you and has tried to discourage you and has caused depression in your life. But this year can be a new year for your life because it's a new year of new beginnings. How true that statement is. And how few people really take advantage of it. They are trapped in their yesterdays. They are trapped in their past. But with the help of God, I want to speak to you here today about a new beginning that you can have in your life. And it can start right now today. I want to talk to you about a new beginning that you can have in your walk with God because today is a new beginning. I want you to know that no matter what the future may hold for you in your life, the same God that had you and brought you through the year 2024 is the same God that will walk with you and bring you through 2025. You see, our God is not... He doesn't have a deaf ear that he can't hear. His arms are not too short that he can't reach out and pick you up in your time of need. His eyes have not gone blind that he cannot see what you are going through because the Bible said that he even sees the sparrow. And so if he watches over the birds of the air, I know that he's going to watch over me and he's going to watch over you. You see, his power has not diminished, that he cannot mend your broken life. You come today with broken pieces, and it seems like your life is broken, and it seems like it's so confused. But we serve a God today that is a masterpiece provider, and he takes the pieces of the puzzle that are broken and that are down and depressed and discouraged in life, and he puts those pieces back together again to make us into the full individual that he has created us to be. His peace has not vanished that he can't still bring you through the storms of this life. He is still a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the word says, and the righteous can run to it and they are saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Can you just give God a big hand clap of praise? In our story this morning, I do not know when this tragic story took place in our scripture text today, but it had its beginnings months before. Perhaps something had crept into the relationship of this Jewish husband and wife. Somehow the lines of communication had been shut down, and the confidence that was once between this couple began to dwindle. It could have been months afterward that this woman had committed the awful sin that she had committed. Or maybe it was just a few moments of unbridled, lustful passion that ended in the act of adultery. Some Bible scholars suggest that this happened during the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, when it may be that they're dwelling in booths and they're feasting, and their joy might have provided for an occasion for sin. But whatever this case was, this woman now finds herself in the middle of something that she does not have the ability to escape from. The scribes and the Pharisees bang down the door and barge into the house, and they pull this woman from her bed in the act of adultery, and the Bible says that they want to stone her right there on the spot. But one of the Pharisees said, "Let's bring her to Jesus and see what Jesus says." But this they did, hoping that they would entrap Jesus and bring discredit to his name. Their chest was heavy with excitement as they began to drag this woman down the street to where Jesus was. They pushed her down time and time again along her way until her hands and her knees were scraped and they were bloodied. As they went, shades were drawn back ever so slightly, and eyes peered out from darkened rooms as people said, "Well, she certainly is not the woman that she thought that she was." When she had no strength to go on, they would drag her along until she got her feet again. Finally, when she was a bloody mess, they threw her at the feet of Jesus, and they said, "Master, the law says that this lady must die." And they say that Moses' law commands that she be stoned. "But what do you say, Jesus?" Here they called him master, but just a day before they called him a deceiver. They said, tempting him that they might find an occasion to accuse Jesus. You know something, this account sounds so familiar to us today because that was our life. The devil had us bound by sin. The devil had us bound by filthy habits of the world. The fetters of our iniquity had us all packaged up, ready to be sent to hell. And the devil brought us bloodied and broken and paraded us before Jesus and said, "He's got sin in his life. She has sin in her life. They deserve to die. They deserve to pay the penalty of sin." But because the Bible said that the wages of sin is death, and that's the story of our life. That's the condition that we found ourselves in, thrown at the feet of Jesus, thrown at his feet, a sinner, an alcoholic, a drug addict, involved in immoral relationships, hooked on pornography, our minds bound by worldly lust, living our own way, not even acknowledging Jesus, no place for God in our life, having lived for God for a time, but now we've fallen away from him and into sin. He doesn't offer a word, but he simply stoops down and begins to write in the sand. And this woman, with the curse of death and the shame of sin on her, thinking to be looking for stone covers, she begins to cover her head and begins to weep on what she thinks is the last day of her life. And the Pharisees continue to pressure Jesus for an answer. and to answer them, and they have stones in their hands. And they're ready to throw these stones at this lady, but Jesus acts like he doesn't even hear them, and he continues to write in the sand. And silence fills the air as finally Jesus begins to speak, and he says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And the scribes and the Pharisees, they were thunderstruck by the words of Jesus that by one conviction filled their hearts. You could hear the dull thud of stones as they began to drop the stones to the ground, and they walked away. The guilty woman opens her eyes, and all she could see is a ground that was covered with stones. And Jesus asked this lady, he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she responds, "I have none, for they are all gone." And then Jesus says, "I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more." What Jesus was saying, he was saying this: you thought that this was the end of your life, but it's not the end of your life. You thought this was the last day of your life, but it's not the last day of your life. You thought it was all over, but it's not all over. Today is a new beginning, and today is the first day of the rest of your life. This is a new chapter, and he says, go and sin no more. God wants you to know this morning that it is not over in your life, because God is a God of new beginnings. Can you give him praise in this house? I'm talking about new beginnings today. There we lay at the feet of Jesus. And the accuser of the brethren had cruelly thrown us there. The devil said, "You and I must die, and we must pay the wages of sin." But Jesus says, "Stand up, face the devil," and he says, "Wait a minute, devil. I have already paid the price for sin. I have already taken care of the penalties of transgression." You see, it's true that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Give him praise in this house. There's an old song that we used to sing, that what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to read you the words to this song, because I may not remember them all, but it says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found below, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Can you give him praise in this house today? It goes on to say, "This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praises to him I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 31 and 30 through 33, it says this: "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall be in charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, the Bible is full of examples of people who did not deserve a new beginning. But God stepped into the arena of their life and gave them a new beginning. All through the pages of Scripture, God is giving people another chance. Are you thankful for second chances and third chances? Rahab was a harlot. She was a woman of the night. And night after night, she would be involved in immoral sin. I don't know exactly how or why she ended up in this situation, but here she was in that situation. But you know something? God gave her a new beginning. And she left Jericho and walked in the pages of the New Testament in the line, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I'm talking today about new beginnings. Many of us know the story of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was one of the men that was most hated in his day. He cheated people out of their money. He robbed people out of their substance. He had everything that he could ever want, but he was still an empty man, and he was in need of a change in his life. And God gave Zacchaeus a new beginning. Don't remember me as I was, because Jesus visited my house and gave me a new beginning. I'm talking this morning about new beginnings. Peter was a disciple of Jesus, and when things got bad, Peter folded under pressure of the crucifixion, and he denied the Master three times, and he cursed. He probably felt like it was all over because he had made a mistake and he had denied Jesus. He could never serve God again. But ladies and gentlemen, God is a God of new beginnings. Peter took advantage of that beginning, and it was Peter that stood on the day of Pentecost and delivered the most powerful and convicting message that has ever been given to mankind. All because God is a God of new beginnings. Saul was a man who sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a learned man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He turned his knowledge into the persecution of the Jews, and he did everything in his power to wipe out the church. But there was still an emptiness in his life. He tried to fill it with more persecution and more vileness in his life, but there was still something missing. But God gave Saul a new beginning, and God changed Saul into the name Paul, and Paul became the greatest apostle in the Scripture and wrote 14 books of the New Testament. God is a God of new beginnings. And as I wrap up my message this morning, I want you to understand that it is a trick of the devil to take us into our past and set us down by all the ships that we have sunk and that we have watched sink. What the devil wants you to do is he wants you to dance in your memories. And he parades your mind of all of the failures and all of the mistakes and all of the disappointments and all of the unhappy moments of your life in bygone years. And he'll tell you that you cannot live for God because of everything that has happened in your past. Satan will tell you that you can't pray this Monday because you didn't pray last Monday. And it's the trickery of the adversary to involve us in the past. You know why? Because he doesn't want us to see today. He would rather weave us into a web of depression and despondency and discouragement over whatever took place in our life yesterday. He would like to take us to the rim of all the canyons of the past and let us listen to the echoes of our failures. But the Apostle Paul said this: forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are before me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, if Satan can bewilder you with yesterday, he will try to make you dizzy for tomorrow. Why? Because he is afraid of the right now. He's afraid of today. He wants to condemn you for your yesterday, and he wants to make you think you don't have hope in tomorrow. And so you look at yesterday and tomorrow, and you never focus on today. Today is the day the Lord has made. Today is the day I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yesterday's gone. I'm not going to look back. Tomorrow has not yet come. But today is the day of my salvation and to make it right with Jesus Christ. As our musicians and worship teams returns to the stage today, maybe you're here this morning and you've been addicted to drugs and you've tried to kick the habit but could not do it yesterday. It is not ending, but the beginning.